Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we'll begin reading with verse 1. But before we turn our attention to God's word this morning, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, it's our prayer that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke 2, beginning with verse 1. Let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And now we jump over to verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the customs of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, and you have prepared that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will also pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. Boys and girls, how do you know that this morning is Christmas? What are some of the signs or the indicators that tell you that it's Christmas time? Maybe one of the first signs that it's Christmas time is the radio starts playing Christmas music. You start getting Christmas cards from friends and family in the mail, or you start smelling cinnamon and pine everywhere. Or you see the lights, and you see all the decorations. You smell the cookies and the treats that are being made. Maybe you had a Christmas party at school, or maybe you know it's Christmas time because you didn't have school this week because it's Christmas break. Mom and Dad tell you that it's Christmas. Maybe you marked the calendar, circled this date, December 25, and you've been counting down the days till Christmas. We have lots of reminders of Christmas. We have lots of signs to tell us that it's Christmas. Well, this morning in our passage, we're looking at three signs that are given. And we're figuring out what those signs are pointing to, what these signs are about. It's like getting a present and trying to figure out what's inside. You know who it's from. It's from mom and dad, or it's from grandpa and grandma, and you look at the size of the box. Is it big or is it thin? And then you shake it. Does it rattle or does it make a noise at all? So maybe it's Legos or maybe it's clothes. Well, in a similar way, we're given these three signs this morning. And the question is, well, what are these signs about? What are these signs pointing to? What are they telling us? And the first sign is the Lord himself will give you a sign. And this first sign comes from Isaiah 7, verse 14. Here it is. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, we looked at this prophecy a few Sundays ago. So what does this sign, the Lord himself will give you a sign, what does this sign tell us? What is it indicating and pointing to? The sign of a virgin becoming pregnant and having a son, Emmanuel, God with us. And 600 years later, we see the fulfillment of this prophecy. Mary, the virgin, gives birth to a son and names him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. Verse 6 and 7, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Now we know that this wasn't just any birth. And so what is this sign pointing to? How does the virgin birth point, or what does it tell us? What does it point to? What is the significance of this sign? Many today may ask, you know, is it really that important or significant that Mary was a virgin? Is the virgin birth essential to Christianity? Is the miraculous conception by the Holy Spirit something that's foundational? And the response is, yes, it's not only essential to our Christianity, but it's foundational to our faith, our understanding of man and Christ and our salvation. This sign of Mary, Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, is foundational. Bavinck explains that the supernatural conception, therefore, it's not a matter of indifference or without value. It is most intimately tied to the deity of Christ. So Christ being God, to his eternal preexistence, to his absolute sinlessness, and is therefore of great importance for the faith of the church. Born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What does it mean that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary? Heidelberg Catechism answers that question by saying that the eternal Son of God, who is and remains true and eternal God, took to himself through the work of the Holy Spirit from the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary a true human nature, so that he might become David's true descendant, like his brothers in all things except for sin. Jesus, fully God, became fully man. Because of this sign, this first sign, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. It's not that Mary's just a surrogate mother here or just carrying Jesus. She's actually his biological mother. And we also know, so he's fully man, but we also know he's fully God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. God became man. He came down to us. He was incarnate. The incarnation took place. He took on human flesh through the conception of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Why? Why did Jesus go through all this? Why was Jesus born? In order to save us from our sins. Because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, he is innocent and perfectly holy and able to save us from our sin. This sign is pointing to who this baby is, what he came to do. Who is he? Well, he's fully God, he's fully man. It's pointing to our salvation. It indicates God's deliverance and salvation from sin that God is accomplishing by becoming man. The angels are announcing his birth. Fear not, and behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. A Savior has been born to you. The one who delivers his people, the one who redeems, yeah, he's been born. And who is he? He is Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the one you've been waiting for all of these years, Jesus Christ, the Lord. The background of these names we saw last week with Isaiah, or last Sunday in Isaiah 9. And to us a child is born, a son is given, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is the one, shepherds, that has been born. The Son, the Savior, the Messiah. The Lord himself will give you a sign. A child is the sign, fully God, fully man, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. That's the first sign this morning. Here's the second sign. And this will be a sign for you. For unto you is born this day. This is verse 12. This is the angels talking to the shepherds. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. So what's the sign there? What's the sign that the angel gives the shepherds? You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. That's the sign, but what does it mean? What's the significance of this sign? Ever since Genesis chapter 3, all of creation has been waiting in eager expectation for the woman to bear the son who would crush the serpent's head. Waiting for the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head. All the anticipation and the preparation, all of the foreshadowing, all of the prophecies, anticipating this moment, building up in excitement, the prophecies throughout time, the son, the child, Emmanuel, the sprout out of Jesse's stump and the branch that will bear fruit, the child, the son who is given, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, God becoming man, Emmanuel, God with us. He has come. He has arrived. It's all leading up to this moment, right here, right now. Strips of cloth and a manger. Where's the palace? Where's the gold-lined silk blankets or the royal crib? Why are we going to Bethlehem, the shepherds may have wondered, instead of going to Jerusalem? Where's the why is this royal announcement by the host of heaven being given up to us shepherds out in the middle of nowhere? This is what we've been waiting for. This is what all the signs have been pointing to. It's the complete opposite of what we would expect. for the Son of God, God himself, taking on human flesh and making his entrance and his arrival into the world. Where's the holiness? Where's the honor? The celebration, the royal garments, the servants. We go from years of prophecies and waiting for the Messiah to angels announcing the coming and the birth to a birth in a stable with strips of cloth and a feeding trough. It doesn't seem to fit at all. But that's the second sign that the angels tell the shepherds to look for. This is the sign that a Savior has been born to you, that the Deliverer has come, that Christ the Lord is here, the Anointed One, the Savior, the long-awaited Messiah. And the sign of his arrival is strips of cloth lying in a manger. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And these shepherds may be wondering, they didn't hesitate, but they may have wondered, well, what kind of sign is this? They go from experiencing the supernatural heavenly army, singing the praises of God about the coming Messiah, and the things that they're supposed to look for as the sign of his arrival are strips of cloth. Like a torn up t-shirt. Lying in a feeding trough. Like the cattle yard across the street. The one who told Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? Tell me if you have understanding. When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed limits for us and set the bars of the ocean and the seas." Is now wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Just to put it in a perspective, your pets at home have it better than the Savior of the world had when he was born. Why? What's the point of all this? What is this sign pointing to? There's no room for them anywhere else. And so they're in a stinking barnyard. Their poverty, the humiliation, the helplessness, wanting to provide for this new little one and having nothing. How many of you would wrap your newborn in strips of a t-shirt and put him in the feeding trough across the street in the cattle yard? What is this sign pointing to? The filth, the humiliation, the stench that Christ was born into is nothing compared to the filth, the stench that he came to save us from. And it wasn't just his birth. It was his life, his death. It all was one of humiliation, rejection, and sacrifice. Why? In order to save us from the filth of sin. His life began with him bloody, naked, and crying out in a feeding trough. And it ended with him bloody and naked and crying out on a cross. And in that moment, not only forsaken by the world he was dying for, but also forsaken by his heavenly Father, who now faced him with the full extent of his wrath. When it comes to Christ's humble birth, we look past the initial appearances of this wretched stable, feeding trough, manger, strips of cloth, in order to see the reason why our Savior, our Lord, has come. We have the sign of a child, who he is, fully God, fully man. We have the sign of a manger here, his humility, humiliation. And now the third sign that we look at points at what he came to do. A sign that is opposed, third and finally. There's a righteous man named Simeon living in Jerusalem. He's described as righteous and devout, and he's been waiting for the consolation, the comfort of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. God made it known to Simeon that he was not going to die before he saw the Lord's salvation in Jesus Christ. And so Simeon is ready to go home, but he's waiting until that day he sees the Lord's deliverance. He lived holding on, believing God's promise that Israel was going to be comforted, that they would be delivered, that God's people would be saved, and now he's holding the fulfillment of that promise in his arms, Jesus Christ. And he takes baby Jesus in his arms, and he sings this song or this prayer, holding Jesus in his arms and declaring, "My eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles," so that's all of us Gentiles, "and for the glory of your people Israel." Here's the salvation in his arms. "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." "Lord, I can die now because I've seen your salvation." And then after he's held Jesus, Mary and Joseph, verse 33, they marvel at what is said about Jesus, what Simeon is saying about Jesus. And then Simeon turns to them and he blesses them. And things get very serious when he turns to Mary. What does he say to Mary, verse 34? "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the hearts of many may be revealed." So we go from Simeon's beautiful song, prayer of praise, for the Lord letting him see the salvation that God has prepared in the presence of all people, the light for the Gentiles, the glory of Israel. And we go from that reality to the somber realization of how that salvation is going to be accomplished. What this child has been born to do, which is going to result in being a sword that pierces Mary's soul. The child, who he is, fully God, fully man. A manger, his humiliation. And now a cross, what he came to do. But with this sign, we start to realize how this deliverance, how this salvation is going to take place. This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel. This child is to be a sign that will be spoken against, a sign that will be opposed. And we begin to see how the manger always sits in the shadow of the cross. And it's not just what this third sign points to in and of itself. It's not just the sign in and of itself, but it's what it points to. It's God's deliverance, his salvation, his peace. Jesus is the sign that is opposed. He will be despised. He will be rejected. People will take their stand against him. But that's why this child has been born. He's been born in order to die, in order to accomplish our salvation. And we are moved in that moment from Christ's birth onto the rest of his life, death and resurrection, which will fulfill this prophecy. Ultimately, for your salvation, for your comfort, for your peace, eternal life. There we have the three signs. And the beauty of this story is that it's living and active. The beauty of God's word is that it is living and it is active. Today, just like those shepherds long ago, you heard the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the Savior's birth, the manger, the cross. And now Christ demands your response. And as we see from Simeon's words, there's only two options here. The first is unbelief. Skepticism, doubt, doesn't really make a big difference any either way. Or what Simeon called the falling of many. Or you can respond in faith. Spreading the good news, glorifying and praising God, the rising of many, seeing these signs with the eyes of faith. Knowing what they're pointing to. The salvation that is yours through faith alone in Christ alone. Does his birth, does Christ's death, his resurrection turn you away, or does it draw you in? Because this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many. There's no neutral option here. He is either Lord and Savior, or he is not. He will either pull you in or push you away. We have a child, a manger, a cross. Like I said before, it's not so much about the signs in and of themselves, but what they're pointing to. So what are they pointing to? Have you figured it out? What are these signs about? What are they indicating? What are they telling us? They're telling us about the salvation that is found in Christ alone, through faith alone. That is ours when we place our faith in him as our Lord and Savior. This salvation is ours. This is what the signs are pointing to, the salvation found in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12, verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus and our salvation in him is what these signs are pointing to. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this Christmas morning thanking and praising you that you have sent your one and only Son, that you so loved the world that you gave us your one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's our prayer, Lord, that you will work in our hearts. Work that faith in our hearts so that we can respond to the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Respond to his life and his death and resurrection with faith, knowing that this salvation that Christ has accomplished is for me personally. And Lord, for those who do not place their faith in you, we pray that you will work in their hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit, turning hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, bringing them to the point of knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and realizing and knowing the salvation that is ours in Christ alone. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.